I'm Gabriel Spitzer. You're listening to Sound Effect on KPLU. Today's show is all about star power. And we heard a little bit earlier about the hunt for planets orbiting far-off stars. Well, on our very first show, nearly a year ago, we met a woman who, before she had turned 30, had discovered four of these exoplanets. Sarah Ballard was a Carl Sagan Fellow at the University of Washington when we first met, and my producer, Arwin, insists that I describe her as a badass. And I do not disagree. Ballard told us how after the struggles and the self-doubt that come with being a young scientist and a female scientist, those discoveries let her finally feel like the real deal.
I felt humbled, but I felt like I could proudly take my place among other scientists who got to feel humbled by the magnificence of the universe. Before that, I felt like I wasn't a part of that club.
So Dr. Ballard has popped back up in the news recently, and this time not for a discovery. It has to do with another scientist, a very famous exoplanet hunter named Jeff Marcy, who just resigned from Berkeley. That followed an investigation which concluded he had a pattern of sexually harassing students. As part of that investigation, three young women came forward to report they had been harassed. Just one did so publicly, using her real name, Dr. Sarah Ballard. She was an undergrad at the time, around 2005, and she says Marcy took an interest in her. She thought, as a mentor, he talked her up and praised her talent. But later, she'd tell investigators how Marcy had also steered conversations toward sexual stuff. He'd ask her to call him at home. It was kind of on the line of being inappropriate. And then one night, it snapped into focus for Ballard what was really going on. Marcy had given her a ride home in his car. Ballard says when they arrived at her place, Marcy put his hands on the back of her neck and began giving her a massage. She hurried away and she went inside and then found that she could hardly breathe.
The fear was first that it all was lies and that I wasn't talented and that I would have to forfeit that new confidence. And the other fear was that there would be no future in astronomy either because there would be no letters. And was kind of both of those fears in addition to kind of a primal fear from the trauma of being touched sexually. It was kind of the primal fear of being touched in a romantic way by someone who you did not want to touch you. And it's a horrible feeling. It's about 10 times worse than you think that it should be. It's awful. It's so much worse than the words imply.
So things died down after that. Ballard would go on to Harvard and then UW and now to MIT. Her career had really started to take off. But she was finding that Marcy looms so large in the field, she just couldn't shake her history with him.
For me, this man was not only another astronomer who was formative to my undergraduate experience, he also works in my exact field of exoplanets. It loomed kind of in the back of my mind that I might have to interact with this man again, and indeed that day came. You know, I mean, I had to kind of be a fourth-year graduate student. It wasn't until 2011 when I was having to interact with him regularly that I even kind of came out to my advisor, even in that very private context. At that point, you know, we had to be in meetings in the same room, which always caused me great anxiety. And it was only kind of that, you know, I had to kind of reach a critical mass of misery to really come out about it in a professional way at all. So I had been talking about it in therapy and in my private relationships since it happened in 2005. But doing anything about it, of which, of course, being a complainant in Title IX is only one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is speaking the words aloud to even one other astronomer. That was kind of a very, very long process in the making.
Are you able to say more about what it was like to have to sit in the same room as this guy after the fact?
Sure. The word that sums it up best is very conflicted. In particular, one of the times we interacted in the same room was one of the most trying times I've ever navigated as a scientist, which was trying to bring a major result to publication within a very large research group, and especially being an extremely junior person. So I was talking about this with you before, Gabe, about Kepler-19. It was bringing Kepler-19 to press that meant I was interacting with a lot of very high-powered individuals within this NASA mission. And there was a point of conflict sort of about whether or not I should be the lead investigator on this study. And in a room full of people with differing opinions, Jeff stood up and said, I think that Sarah should lead this publication. He really has done me good in addition to doing me harm. And no moment kind of sums that up so much as that moment where he literally helped me by putting himself on the line in that situation and standing up for me professionally while I was also holding in my heart these memories of him hurting me professionally as well in the way that harassment does hurt, which is totally differently than, you know, the kind of intellectual level. So that, I mean, this particular moment really encapsulated how I feel almost about the entire story, which is very deeply conflicted. And I think understanding and accepting that they could be true at the same time was a major part of why I chose to participate in the Title IX investigation at all, and then why I also chose to go public.
So as you were thinking that through, what price did you decide you were willing to pay to do what you saw as the right and necessary thing?
I think that with the help of therapy and with the help of kind of coming out to other scientists, I realized that the strongest fears I had were unfounded ones. I was afraid that he would make me feel very bad, and he could do that still by telling me that I hurt him in some way and all he ever tried to do was help me. So for that reason, I was afraid, and people kind of affirmed to me, he's never going to do that. You know, he's way too savvy to reach out and try to harm you, especially now, Sarah. You're not 20 anymore. I mean, one major feature of therapy about this topic is that whenever a person kind of undergoes a traumatic experience, there's often a sort of time travel that occurs where, even though I'm 31 now, 11 years of accruing personal relationships and experience in the field of astronomy, I'm still that lonely 20-year-old who's just come inside from being in the car, and I'm deeply afraid and can hardly even breathe. It was kind of only with the help of others that I assured myself that the scariest part was extremely unlikely. I had professional encouragement from very senior people in the field, not only in astronomy but in exoplanets, who were saying that you have a reputation now within the field of being a careful and thoughtful person. People know who you are. You have some measure of power. You don't have zero power like I did when I was 20. I need to be the woman that I needed then. I needed a 30-year-old woman to protect me when I was 20. And if I can be that woman now for another younger woman, then so much the better.
Take your time for a second.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for giving me a moment.
At any time. We got loads of moments. I was just wondering if you had talked to the other women who participated in the investigation, or if you know who they are.
I have now.
Yeah?
Yes, I do know who they are. And I am in communication with them. That wasn't the case even a few months ago. And those conversations about who would go public and who wouldn't, I came out on kind of one end of that decision, and then other women kind of decided differently in their own kind of emotional calculus.
I'm guessing you're not surprised that this is very widespread in sciences and other fields, but
let me tell you, I wasn't surprised, but I was prepared for a negative backlash, which for me never occurred. It's still something miraculous to me. I had prepared in both kind of taking social media measures and also emotionally for a Gamergate type backlash, which, I mean, that would be much more intense and sort of violent than I imagined any backlash would be. But there have been similar backlashes against the women who spoke out about Walter Lewin, a senior professor at MIT, and so on. And I had really locked down all of my social media, like anticipating some kind of backlash like this, either from other astronomers or from kind of harm wishers on the internet. And I got two letters from trolls. Two. I mean, in comparison to the hundreds of positive letters I got, in some ways it still feels like a dream that I navigated it without more personal cost to myself, that I came out without more personal cost to myself.
So the theme of our show is star power this week, and that's some obvious connections with your line of work, of course. But it also made me wonder, you know, Jeff Marcy was a star in your field. He was
very
a celebrity.
So.
And how did that complicate both dealing with the harassment and the feelings around it at the time and the decision to come out about it publicly?
I've thought a lot about why this particular situation turned out so much more positively than others. And I think a major feature was that everyone kind of knew. I guess I shouldn't say everyone. There was a critical mass of scientists who already knew that Jeff was a serial harasser of young women, or that suspected as much. It was rare to find a person, after I would share that this happened to me, with people who would say, "I'm surprised." Most people would say, "I suspected," or "I've heard before." And there's something to an extremely public figure like that, where if it had been completely new information, you know, about a relatively minor person whom nobody knew, that might have made it turn out very differently. The fact was that he was well known within our field, not only for exoplanets, but extremely well known too, as behaving very strangely and even harmfully, like around young women. He was well known for that. And I think that his fame also played a role in this receiving the publicity that it did, especially highlighted how he was kind of a short list contender for the Nobel Prize, for example, and how even individuals who can be the most famous are still capable of doing harm. In fact, these things aren't separate. One of the women who counseled me repeatedly, who used to be the head of the chair for the Committee on the Status of Women in Astronomy, one of our professional groups, told the New York Times that it's a story for all harassers, that you're not too big to fail. His fame also played a role here, where what it said to our field is that it doesn't matter if you're shortlisted for the Nobel Prize. We, as an astronomy community, are deciding you've done too much harm to belong.
We did reach out to UC Berkeley about its investigation, and they referred us to a statement in which they called Marcy's resignation highly appropriate. And in Marcy's own statement, he said he didn't agree with each of the complaints, but acknowledged his behavior was unwelcome, and he apologized to the women he defected. If you want to learn more about Sarah Ballard, including listening to that first conversation we had with her about discovering four new planets, you can find it at our website, kplusoundeffect.org.